Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora. Welcome to Film Talks On Air. In the studio joining me today, I have two, not one, but two very special guests. I've got filmmaker friend Derek Sims, and I've got Lucy Cooper, who is in her role as journalist extraordinaire for the Wairarapa Times Age. But also a friend to the film festival and a friend of mine. So welcome to both of you. It's wonderful to have you here today.
Thank you, Jay.
I am really excited for this talk because normally I would have Derek, I would have you in to talk about film. We're going to go sideways, if that's a segue into television. So this is a big thing for you. Tell me about the project that you're working on now.
Well, I had this idea a few years ago. You might know this about me. I'm a huge fan of Rod Serling's The Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
My children are. I just love it. I've loved it forever. And I thought, what if there was a New Zealand version of The Twilight Zone? And there's been some, what they call omnibus series, you know, where little episodes, you know, that don't have anything to do with other episodes, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of a form that has showed up in New Zealand, but not very often. And I thought, well, what if we did a Twilight Zone, but instead of it being solely for adults, what if it was made toward maybe like teenagers and adolescents and stuff, and it took place in this mysterious fictional region of New Zealand, you know, where just the weird happens, you know? and I had this idea, like inside the Twilight Zone, that you never really know what you're going to get week to week. Each episode's going to be different. But I said it would all take place in this region, but not necessarily in time, you know, in a specific time. So this first episode, which we're shooting as a pilot, which is a standalone short film, if you will, takes place in 1988. And then the next one might be in 2024. And then the next one might be in 1550, you know, or something like that. Or it might be, you know, well into the future or the prehistoric past, you know. So it all takes place in this region, but at different times.
Cool. So do we come to know the region? Will we recognize particular places in this pilot that you're going to film?
There'll be some natural features of the region that will be featured prominently. And two, I want to shoot this in the, we're shooting it in the northern Wairarapa and over into Palmy. We're shooting some sequences over there. But there will be some places that you see
and recognize
as a local and be like, oh, I know where that's at, and I know where that's at, you know.
Fantastic.
But and they're places that you've never seen on screen before because we just don't have production in this area very often. And that's another sort of angle I'm taking, is I'm trying to bring production to our area.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Yeah. I really am. How many different roles are you playing in this
well,
television series?
If we don't get all the money we need, then many more than I want to. You know, so we're doing this teaser right now for it, and it'll be released in a couple weeks. But in this teaser, I was talking to my daughter, who was part of the on-screen talent for this, and I said, just so you know, I'm doing 12 different roles tonight on this thing, and I listed them off to her, you know, and I said, but hopefully we'll get the funding, and we'll... I'll be able to direct and hopefully direct photography and then let other people do those roles.
You come from a great tradition here, though. So Tom Sainsbury did his podcast, which it was a crime podcast, and he played all the characters.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, so he's done two series of that. So
is that recently?
I started listening, I think it was about a year ago, and I interviewed him for both series, so it must be maybe 18 months it's been going, but and that was set in a fictional part of Wairarapa, but very distinctly, obviously recognizable.
Interesting. I don't know about
I'll
this
send that
I need
to you,
if, yeah
then, you, then if the funding doesn't come through, you can maybe call him for some.
Well, did you see his movie that came out last year?
Yes, I did.
Loop Track.
Yeah,
I thought it was clever and fun and exciting, and I really liked what he did with that, and he kind of did it outside of kind of the traditional roots that you take in terms of filmmaking in New Zealand.
Don't you think that's may I jump in?
Yes,
sorry,
because
you know you can't stop me once I start. Don't you think that's the great thing about New Zealand? Like we're two blow-ins, you know, from overseas, but there does seem to be a real possibility to try stuff here that I never felt possible or able to do back in the UK.
Well, I felt that when I was in the States, just because I worked on a lot of really low budget independent feature films, and I kept my budgets, because I produced two of them and directed them, I kept my budget so low that it was easy to find that funding and easy, you know, and you can do that just about anywhere. If you can keep the budget low enough, you can, you know, make these things happen. However, at a certain point, those super low budgets become kind of unsustainable, I think. Mm. And you need to bring in people and you need that help and stuff, or you will burn yourself out, you know? Yeah. And I've been doing that for over a decade now, and well over a decade now, and I'm starting to feel that burnout. Mm-hmm. And two, your project suffers because you don't have the funding, which means you don't have the time or the schedule that you need, and you don't have the talent of people around you that you need to fill those roles. Mm-hmm. And while you can do it by yourself, it becomes, you know, so difficult and wears you down.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to, so I taught film at UCOL for 5 years, and I felt that while I was teaching there, I thought, you know what, if anything, I'm going to craft my own crew with these students. And I sort of did. And an unfortunate thing is that I would always tell them, well, if you want to do this for a living, you're going to have to go. You're going to have to leave this area. You're going to have to go to Auckland, or you're going to have to go to Wellington or somewhere else, if you want to practice what you've been doing here. And hopefully this will let them come back home, you know, and do that sort of thing. But we need the funding and the resources and stuff like that so that we can do it in this area. And I feel that inside of New Zealand, if you're outside of those areas, it's really hard to find that funding. Mm. You know, I mean, you can still go to the Film Commission, you can still go to New Zealand On Air and stuff, but yeah, I think it's a bit more difficult.
Mm. I think we need to build up more of a name for ourselves here in the Wairarapa, because there are productions that happen. Mm. It just seems to happen so underground. Mm. Like, yes. We hear about it after it's happened.
Yeah.
But when I was talking to Tania Black at Screen Wellington, we acknowledged that most of the people on the books for making film in Wellington, they either live on the Kapiti Coast or they live here in the Wairarapa, which is incredible. Like, the majority of them are right here.
Yeah.
But they don't get to film here necessarily, but they live here.
So we
need to build an industry.
Yeah. You know?
Well, I for a long time, even while I was teaching, I was trying to push for, I called it at the time, Film Manawatu, but we're one of the, even I know we're in the Wairarapa right now, but there's no film office, if you will. There's no organization to help bring productions in or to provide productions with resources and stuff. And I think that's one thing that's kept productions, you know, just outside of us, you know.
Yeah.
And if there was something like that, that people were able to go to and get help and resources and just a list of locations and photographs and knowing who owns this land that you can, you know, inquire about shooting there and whatnot, that kind of thing doesn't exist. And it's a shame, because it's I've gone to a few economic development agencies and councils and stuff and asked them, said, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And you usually hear yes. And then crickets, you know, for the next 6 months, you know. And so, yeah, and I've just had this desire to do this, to bring productions, bring people, bring resources and stuff like that into the area. And because the talent's there, like you said, there's people here, they just have to go elsewhere to do the work, you know.
Yeah.
And it'd be great if they could stay at home, you know, and or at least make things, you know, that are closer, you know, and
makes complete sense. In my mind, I've got this kind of 1970s image of somebody going into an office and going, hello, I'd like to make a film, please.
Yeah, yeah.
A whole back room of people on typewriters going, excellent. Yeah.
Lots of wood paneling on the wall. Yeah. That's an episode of my show, by the way.
That needs to be written into your episode. No, but back to the teaser that you're making. Now, this is for a Kickstarter campaign. Now, this is
a boosted campaign.
Yeah. Now, this is important because this is also a very much a New Zealand film story. You know, when you're trying to get your people and you need the funding to be able to pay your people, because that's always really important too, a lot of people do go to Boosted. So tell us a bit more about your experience with getting involved with the Boosted project initiative.
Okay, let me take a step back. We did apply for some funding through Creative Communities, the Palmy Edition, and they did give us some funding. So that was a base. Originally, we were trying to go for a New Zealand Film Commission scheme, but they didn't run it this year, and it really fit into that mold really nicely, and it would have been the right amount of money to do things properly and whatnot, but it didn't happen this year. So then we're like, well, where can we find money elsewhere? Well, we'll go to Creative Communities, go to Palmy. They said, sure, that sounds great. Here's half of what you asked for. You know, great. We needed that. We couldn't have done it without them. But now we need that bit a little bit more. And so I thought, well, where do we go to? Well, I'd had successful Kickstarter, like the actual Kickstarter.com, you know, crowdfunding platform. I'd had success with those stateside when doing these small projects, you know, from where I'm from. And anyway, Boosted is the New Zealand version of that. But Boosted is a little bit different in that you are given a person, you know, like a
somebody to coordinate?
Yeah, sort of, yeah. And so whenever you, first off, you can't just sign up for Boosted and get your project on there. Right. You have to fill out all this stuff, do your pitch to them, and then they say yes or no to whether it's worthwhile. And then if it's worthwhile, they say, okay, now we're going to give you a call and we're going to talk through this thing and then make sure that you know, they sort of give you an organizer of sorts, you know. You still have to have your own plan and all this sort of thing. So that's a bit new to me. Yeah. I haven't experienced that in the past. But like Kickstarter, they do it's an all or nothing campaign. So you either get that money or you don't get it.
You know, there's nominate.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you have to really think about your price tag, you know, and yeah. say, you know,
it's like going on the chase, isn't it? And you don't get all the questions.
But it does make you hustle quite a bit more, right? And so anyway, that campaign's been approved. I've had my deal with them, and we're shooting this teaser. We're going to launch and then have this teaser as part of that launch to show people. This is kind of what this is going to be. And again, we're shooting it as a standalone short, okay? But it is a pilot, really, for this television series that I really want to get going.
Yeah.
But it does work alone because, like The Twilight Zone, like these omnibus kind of series, each episode is different, you know, has different characters, different, you know.
Time zones and environments
yeah.
and...
Yeah.
Cast? Will it be a different cast?
A different cast every time. I mean, like in the Twilight Zone, sometimes you would get repeat people every 2 or 3 years. You know, you get Burgess Meredith on there again, you know, or William Shatner. I think you did a couple of them, you know. But so that might happen. And two, I mean, it can be anything you want. You know, you can come back to that time and that place and that era and bring back characters, you know, that you've had in previous episodes and previous seasons and stuff. But yeah, I kind of like this science fiction kind of horror-ish, but not too scary. You know, it's not a
unsettling.
Yeah, it's unsettling yeah. kind of. Yeah,
I don't like horror, but I do love unsettling.
Unsettling is also a very New Zealand theme.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah. New Zealand film, especially the first couple of decades. Yeah. But yeah, that's sort of the and that's another thing that ties it all together is that theme of kind of unsettling, strange, you know. In fact,
really quite sure what we're looking at, kind of figuring stuff out for ourselves.
Yeah, and usually there's a bit of a turn at the end where you're like, oh, that's not what I expected.
Didn't see that coming. Yeah.
So that's the plan.
Am I allowed to ask how much you're hoping for through the Boosted campaign? Are you allowed to
sure. Yeah. So we got $6,000 from Palmy Creative Communities. I think I'm safe to say that. but we're going to ask for an additional 12 through Boosted. Yep. And that'll get us to a point where I feel, all right, I can do this. I can bring in those people. I can pay those people. Mm. Because that's something else too. People need to be paid for their work, especially today. And I find it increasingly frustrating in the arts, especially in film, people are still asked, you know, oh, could you do this and could you do it for free or could you do it for next to nothing, you know? And it's a ton of work and it's a ton of hours and people need to be compensated for that. And
everyone needs to be paid for their hard work.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And we need to campaign for the arts for that.
Yeah, and something else that's frustrating too is people often associate, you know, glamour with filmmaking. And I assure you, it's not glamorous at all. In fact, it's extraordinarily hard. And I remember when my parents, who didn't understand what I did for a living, you know, living in Los Angeles, the very first feature film I ever directed, I brought back to Arkansas where I'm from. And for the first time ever, you know, I'm 26 years old here. My parents are watching me make a movie and they said, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, how much work goes into it. Like they had a whole new respect for it, for what I did. And they're like, oh, it's an actual job. It's it's a really difficult job, actually. You're not just walking down red carpets and getting your picture made, you know. In fact, it's hardly any of it is that, you know. In fact, that's the part we hate. I'm like, no, please don't, you know. But yeah, it's, and I think that that sort of idea of what this quote unquote industry is, I think it's everywhere. And I see it in New Zealand too. You know, people don't realize just how much work it is. And they should know.
Well, let's talk about the shot that you got last night. Like you were talking to me earlier just about, you know, everything that you needed to do to set up a single shot. So how long did that take last night?
Oh, 6 hours.
6 hours.
For one shot. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was the shot of?
It's in, on camera, you'll look at it and be like, oh, okay. But it's a, it's a difficult shot, especially when you're one person doing 12 different roles. But no, it's just a child throws on a super 8mm projector. It comes on and it's flashing at the side of the frame and the camera pushes in on her, pushes in, pushes in, pushes in on her eyes and then goes above her eyes into the darkness behind her. That's it. That's all it was. We did 14 takes.
But I'm thinking about the time that it takes to set up the light, the time that it takes to talk to your actress and about what, you know, the positioning of everything and getting everything timed so perfectly. That's a lot of work.
Well, and something else too, the background had to be completely dark. And because there's something in the darkness that's going to be added in post-production. but so it had to have a certain level of darkness, you know. And yeah, and I'm working in a garage, right, that has walls, half the walls are painted whitish, kind of bluish, and so you have to hang black fabric to bring down all of that so that the light's not bouncing all over the place and creating this stuff. So, yeah, it's...
Do you stay calm when you're doing all of that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
If I ever was, I'm definitely not now. it doesn't do any good, right? And yeah. No, so my daughter was a champion last night. It was quite cold out there in the garage. We did have a 2K tungsten lamp, which was putting out lots of heat, but it was on the other side of the garage, and so she wasn't reaping the benefit of that. But yeah, it's it is hard work. I'm able to keep calm, you know, just because I know I've got to do this stuff. It's not going to do me any good to get riled up about it. And you can't rush it, no, because it's not worth shooting if it's not right, right? I mean, you're just kind of wasting time. You know, what if I would have stopped at hour four and said, oh, let's just shoot it? Well, all that time's wasted because it's not going to be what I needed.
I know that Isla's been really looking forward to it. She told me all about this in Martinborough last year.
Yeah.
You know this television series doing? Do you know that I'm going to be in it?
Oh, yeah.
So excited.
Yeah.
How old are your children?
My daughter's 9 and my boy's 6.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so she's in this episode. She's on every page of the script. And I wrote it for her. That's just her name in the script. And I said, you are this role. Are you keen on doing it? She said, yeah. We've read through the script multiple times as a bedtime story. They read the script, you know. And yeah, and again,
see what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, and the thing too, it is a bit of a play on my own history. This first episode, it's about a child filmmaker, which isn't unlike me, growing up in rural nowhere, which isn't unlike both of us, you know. And something else that's kind of special about this episode is so she's shooting on Super 8 film, making these movies, and you get to see kind of the grandeur of what she thinks she's making, and then you actually get to see what it actually is, you know. And so the movie is kind of movies inside of movies because she's making them, but she's shooting on film. There's one of the budget kind of, you know, budget lines. It's a bit higher because we're shooting those sequences on Super 8mm film, and so it's quite expensive. We have the bottom of the barrel. Like, we can afford a 3-minute reel of T-Max black and white. We can afford two reels of Ektachrome color, you know. And that's it. But it's part of the film. And in the film, she's actually cutting the film and projecting the film itself. Wow. And we want to do it for real. And so this first episode is kind of an ode to movie making and film itself. And kind of historically, you know, she's cutting, she's gluing, she's projecting inside the thing.
I'm imagining Cinema Paradiso.
It's not unlike that. But with a Twilight Zone kind of twist.
Well, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
What happens now? Like, when do you launch your boosted campaign?
Well, I hope that it's launched by the time this goes out, but we're planning to do it for 4 weeks from late July into August. And then our shoot's going to be the very end of September to early October, thinking maybe the first week of October. So we have to coordinate it with school holidays because a school is one of the locations and we want to have kind of free rein just for half a day inside the school to set it up as we need it.
Okay, so this will go out on the third Sunday and the fourth Sunday of this month. And we've got the wonderful Lucy who is going to follow up with a story for us.
Thanks, Lucy. Thank
you. We're in the age, totally. It's a great story.
It's a great local story. And
thanks, guys.
I also, I've got so many questions. Like, I'm thinking, where are you sourcing all your props from? Like, all the stuff that goes into this. Like, how many episodes have you actually storyboarded out?
Well, not storyboarded. We only have this first one.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. And then beyond that, we have the treatments for about four more episodes. Okay. But it would be one of those seasons. You know, modern television's 8 to 10 episodes a season, so I think it'll be about 8 to 10 episodes.
Where do you imagine this being broadcast?
Oh, I would love for it to be on actual TV, you know, on TVNZ. Channel 1. That'd be great, yeah. Like, I think I really hate that it seems as a culture we're really missing out on a commonality, a thing that we all watch on television and then talk about at work. You know, we all kind of live in these little silos of you watch this on Netflix and you watch this on Prime and all this sort of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's great. You have access to all of these things, but everyone has their own little world. We don't connect around a thing. So I'm hoping, on top of all this other stuff, that it creates something that people talk about and watch
as a collective, and you talk, a shared experience.
Yeah. You don't get that very often these days, and it makes me sad.
And your local audience, you know, the Wide Upper audience, I feel would be totally up for that because it's all been done in our backyard.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, part of the pitch is it's going to have a cinema showing in Palmy. That was part of the creative community's pitch. Yeah. But I would, of course, like to get it down here as well. I mean, I don't know. Lettered Upper Film Festival 2025.
Just letting you know, if there are, of course, creative community scheme funding in every town and city in New Zealand, they all have different amounts of money and they all are available at different times. But definitely check out Tararua Creative Community Schemes and Masterton Creative Community Schemes.
Yeah. I've looked into a lot of them. The difficult thing is deadlines, right? So some of them have once a year and you apply in September. It's like, well, I wouldn't get the money till November, which I've already shot at that point. And so we were supposed to be shooting it right now. Something came up and we didn't work into our personal schedules. So that's why we shifted it to next school holidays, you know, first week of October kind of thing. And I don't want to shift it again. Mm. I want to raise the money and I want to do it. At some point you have to say, this is when we're shooting it.
Yes.
And you strive for that. You can't say, it'll happen one of these days when we get all the money we need. You know, because a lot of these grants too, you have deadlines of when you have to do your reporting and whatnot. Yes. And I've already got an extension on that Palmy deadline because we had to shift the shoot to October. Yeah.
It's a complicated business.
It's very complicated. Yeah. And two, it's a minor miracle that anything's ever made.
Yes.
You know?
Isn't it?
And then that it's good is an even bigger miracle, you know? And so, and I think anyone who works in film knows that, you know, I don't think many others know that, but it's just, it takes a lot of hustle and you got to stick with it. You know,
given its boosted campaign, you know, which means that people can invest in this, but what would your message be? What's their why? Why would they?
Why would they?
Mm.
Well, thank you. It's to bring something like this sort of not just craftsmanship and artistry of local artists, you know, but to bring stories and you know, these locations that you're so familiar with, to bring them to the masses, you know. Like, I always felt that way. The first two features I directed, I went back home to South Arkansas to shoot them because I was always frustrated that I never saw myself on screen.
That's right.
You know, I mean, that's a tricky thing to say. I never saw my people in my area properly represented on screen. You know, you know, people say, "Oh, well, you got Deliverance." You know, it's like, hey, you know. but I felt that, especially South Arkansas, I'd never seen that, and I'd written my stories about those people in that area, and I wanted to see that on screen. And so even though, you know, New Zealand is a small country, you see New Zealand movies and stuff, but you don't see all of New Zealand, especially in terms of locations. You don't see them represented. You know, that's
you're right.
And the different groups as well. I remember talking to somebody at Otago University about what it was like when Scarfies was premiered in Dunedin. Like, everyone came out to support that, and how powerful it was to be able to identify. I was a Scarfie. I studied at Otago, so it was like, there's a film about my people. You know?
Yep. And there's there's something great about that, about seeing yourself and
Indiana Jones was filmed at my school. Some of it.
Really?
Get out of town.
Yeah. So you know the bit, you know when one of the, he's teaching.
And she writes on her eyelids.
Yes. That was my math room.
Really?
Yeah, oh my God. Then he leans out of the window to escape.
Yes. Here's the deal. On the background of the shot I did last night, there's a Raiders of the Lost Ark poster on there. Hold on, hold on. And the girl in the movie is making her version of like a medieval version of Raiders of the Lost Ark. In fact, when you watch it, you're like, oh my God, she's totally ripping this up. But you see it once you realize what's happening. Yeah, right. When you, and I'm not, in fact, it says it in the script. This is Raiders of the Lost Ark, and this guy is dressed like Dr. Jones. And yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
I just can't wait, and you know, I'm a big fan, as you know, and so I am all over this with trying to do everything that we can to support this to happen, because this is a wonderful thing for the film industry, the television industry, but just for local storytelling. This is an incredible story. So yay. Let's make this happen.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you both for coming in today. It's always a delight to talk to both of you.
Thanks, Jane. Okay.